Waddle and Sylvie, live from the book.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
At Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
On ESPN 1000.
You're on.
Chicago's home for sports.
We've got the championship games coming up on Sunday. Here's the way they look, Waddle. 2:05 kickoff for the AFC championship game.
Yeah.
Kansas City hosting Tennessee. And then the later game, 5:40 start, Chicago time, Packers and the Niners.
Well, I'm glad it's a late start for the Packers and Niners. That probably will benefit our next guest in case weather is an issue for him on his travel schedule.
So he is... drove from Green Bay, Milwaukee, and he's driving to Chicago right now.
Yeah, he likes to follow the snow. He likes to fly in snow.
Yeah, so. Well, it's supposed to start here around 5 or 6 o'clock, I think. Jason Wilde does great work for ESPN Milwaukee, writes for The Athletic, and he's our buddy. He's our pal. He's our teammate, and he joins us right now on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jason.
Jason.
It was such a damn good intro.
It was. I mean, that was quality.
I really rolled out the red carpet for my cheesehead friend.
Yeah.
And of course, like many cheesehead friends, they let you down.
That's right.
They let you down.
Yeah.
So,
You know what? Remember what I was talking to Wilde about last week when the Packers hosted the Seahawks? The Packers' defense and their ability to contain scrambling quarterbacks. And I was about to send him a text saying, hey, look. Look, see how that stat held up? See how that stat held up in the first half? In the second half, Russ ran wild. And he became a much bigger factor in the second half. So I was really ready to say to Wilde, listen, I hope you used my analysis.
But then it,
and then it just went to
poof.
Hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, because Russ went on a run in the second half.
Do you think they could still... Now, I know Aaron Rodgers made a play, and he made plays in that game. But can they go to San Francisco still and win because of Aaron Rodgers being the Hall of Fame quarterback?
I think that's their best chance. I mean,
can he still do that like he used to?
Yes. I mean, you saw some throws. I just don't think there's... I don't think there's any way they can protect him well enough. I don't think he's got enough around him to get past the 49ers. And you know how bad I've been at projecting these games, but I think what you saw in the Bay Area last week when the 49ers front seven that's finally healthy got after Cousins behind that Minnesota Vikings offensive line, I think you're going to see a comparable display. Now, obviously, Aaron's significantly better than Cousins, and I would give the Packers offensive line a significant edge over what the Vikings did. But with that said, we saw a little bit of it on display back in Week 12, when Rodgers was sacked 5 times and was running for his life against the 49ers front seven that really wasn't nearly as healthy as they are right now. So, listen, if anybody can pull a rabbit out of his hat, it's Aaron Rodgers. I just think he's going to be under duress for the majority of that game. I think the 49ers defensively got it going on. I love Devontae Adams, but outside of Adams, who really floats your boat inside that offensive huddle for the Packers? It's not like the days of Jordy Nelson.
No.
And Randall Cobb, when he was younger,
Jennings.
Greg Jennings was available. You know, you had JerMichael Finley as a tight end. He doesn't have that a similar amount of talent inside
Donald Driver.
Yes. Now, again, I keep telling you that, well, I'm not that impressed with these Packers. And they go 13-3 and win the division. And then they win their first playoff game. So, I'm the idiot that keeps saying, I don't think they're that good. And then they just keep winning. I wouldn't bet on them this week, personally.
But the thing is, Waddle, and I'm not saying with this play, do you think that on Monday when we're breaking down these games or when we're texting each other on Sunday night and you're 3 scotches in, that we're going to be going, wow, I didn't see that coming in any particular game? Because let's face it, in the first 2 weeks, We've had that on numerous occasions.
Personally, for me, I think it's more likely that happens in the first game than the second game. I think at the end of the game, at the end of the day on Sunday, we're going to be saying, wow, I think they killed Aaron Rodgers. Wow, I don't know if he's going to get up. Look at the way Bose is playing and Armstead. All of these different guys that come after the quarterback and see how they rush the passer. I just feel better about that game in terms of the outcome, and that's not the former Bear and me hating on the Packers, because I appreciate the hell of what the out of what the Packers have done. I think there's a little more intrigue in the Titans and the Chiefs game, because listen, that's a better Chiefs defense than the one that was squaring off with the Titans back in Week 10. But I think Derrick Henry's going to be able to run the football against them some. And they beat, you know, they showed you over the course of the last, what was it, 12 games now with Ryan Tannehill under center. They're not just a, hey, we're going to score 20 points and have to hold you to anything under 20. They won a shootout against the Chiefs back in Week 10. Now, it's a different Chiefs team, but they scored 35 points in that game.
Would Derrick Henry be, if there was an MVP of the postseason? So far, is Derrick Henry the MVP of the postseason?
I would say so because
Mahomes has only played one game.
I mean, Derrick Henry's, you know what Derrick Henry's averaging in terms of production in the first two games of the postseason? 32 carries and 189 yards per game.
And look at who he's beaten.
Yes, he's beat. They went to Foxborough, and then they beat the New England Patriots, and then they went to Baltimore and took down the number one seed in the AFC. I mean, it's been fantastic. I don't believe Ryan Tannehill has thrown for, and not to diminish what he's done, because he's been good, but he hasn't been asked to do a lot.
Right.
He hasn't thrown for 100 yards in either game.
He had three touchdowns last week.
Yes.
Two throwing, one rushing, but like 90-some yards.
Right. And the game plan is obvious for the Chiefs. It's a whole lot of Derrick Henry over and over. What's the best way? We always used to say this about Rodgers. What's the best way to try to contain an offense that's prolific like the one that Patrick Mahomes is running? You got to keep them on the sideline. You got to dominate the time of possession.
And that's perfect for them.
And that's, yeah, I mean, that's what they've got to try and do.
Mike Vrabel was wearing some sort of a hat today, I guess, like a stocking cap. So one of the reporters for the Titans tweeted it out, and it says, run the damn ball.
And I saw that you said send a bunch of those to Hallis Hall.
Yeah, I tweeted it out, and I said, please send a 1920 football drive like Forest, Illinois, 60045. I mean, Vrabel, wearing a hat, a stocking cap, it would be perfect for visor guy. Exchange the visor for a stocking cap that says, run the damn ball.
Okay, can I add a word to it?
I know we don't have Derrick Henry.
I'm just going to say, can I add run the damn ball more?
Okay.
Or run the damn ball some. Or run the damn ball every now and again. You just can't run the damn ball the way that the Titans do because you're not built like that. So I'm with you, though. I mean, I was clamoring for them to run the football more this past year as well. But that offense is built perfectly for what they're doing.
Right. I mean, and here's Ryan Tannehill with the highest QB rating of any quarterback this year. But one of the reasons why is because they manage him
Absolutely.
Perfectly.
Yes.
Because they let him only do, you know, and he's had some big games. But yeah, when it comes down to going into New England, going into Baltimore, they put together a game plan where, you know, it's they just get enough Ryan Tannehill.
This is why I would, if I'm a Titans fan, I'm a little buyer beware with regard to all this talk about extensions for Ryan Tannehill. Like, I think if you go back and look at some of the years he had with the Dolphins, he was impressive at times. Was he an elite quarterback, a top 10 quarterback? No, but he was a functional quarterback. If you're a Titans fan, and they come and tell you, well, we just gave Ryan Tannehill a four-year, $100 million deal with $55 million. If they just gave him the Nick Foles deal, that was 4 years, $88 million with $50 million plus guaranteed, wouldn't you be a little bit concerned?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's guys like Ryan Tannehill step in and play the way he did. I mean, can he have that type of success over a given number of seasons? I wouldn't write it off, but I also wouldn't bet a ton of money on it because those things ebb and flow. Look at Nick Foles. Look at different situations where a guy has stepped in and go, oh, my God, look what he's doing now. Look at,
I think you could look at Joe Flacco.
Yes.
And Joe Flacco was considered a better quarterback at that stage because he didn't bust out with the team.
Right.
And he still wasn't great. I didn't like Joe Flacco. But, like, wasn't Yurko on this that Joe Flacco, even though he went 11 touchdowns, zero interceptions, and led them to a Super Bowl, that they should not pay Joe Flacco?
Yeah, I think Yurko was on that train. And, listen, I think Joe Flacco led the NFL and renegotiated contracts over the stretch of 10 years. I think he signed more than one or two, 3 years, $60-plus million a year, or $60 million contracts.
Isn't he one of the guys who's made the most money in NFL?
I think so.
I mean, He's got to be.
So.
But I'm just – well, what I'm most excited for this week is – and it, maybe it's because I don't know diddly about the NFL as illustrated by my bets. But in the first 2 weeks of the playoffs, there have been stuff that's happened. Houston's up 24 to nothing against Kansas City. Oh, my gosh, we didn't see that coming.
Yeah, but you also didn't write them off, did you?
But, I mean, there are just stuff that, like, we could break it down and we could say this is going to be with this team and this is going to be with that team, but then you're staring a 24 nothing deficit in the face. Or you're the Baltimore Ravens, and you are the best team, and you look unstoppable, and now the Titans are facing a real team, and they're going to roll the Titans.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And oh my gosh, the Titans did the same exact thing to the Ravens as they. It's just so far, it's been one of those playoffs where it's been tough to predict.
When the season when the game kicked off, you would have never expected Lamar Jackson to have had 50 plus pass attempts, would you?
No,
of course not.
In a game.
And you would have not the week before when the Vikings went to New Orleans. You would have never expected Kirk Cousins to be the one that is dropping dimes in crunch time, would you have? So what I'm doing is I'm supporting your thought that we've seen a lot of unbelievable stuff that we really haven't been expecting. With that, I think as you come along, the further you go into the postseason, trend is usually it becomes more predictable.
Okay. It's going to be fun watching these games. I think right now, the best money in the bank looks like Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, the way they're rolling. But we could be sitting here on Monday saying that.
I would actually side with the Packers beating the Packers.
I know, but you still have got that Jimmy Garoppolo.
I know.
My gosh, did he really throw that pass thing?
No, you're 100% correct. I don't like the – to me, it's matchups, and I hate the matchup for the Packers – offensive line and quarterback against this front seven of the 49ers.
All right, so we're going to try and catch up with Will D later in the show as he commutes to Chicago and everything, and we'll talk about that.
Riding his bicycle?
I don't know what happened to him. But Kyle Long was on with Carmen and Yurko earlier today. We both texted each other, my gosh, that was so good. Yeah. Kyle Long was candid. He was open. He talked about Mitch. You're going to hear all of that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, live from the book at Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana.
Trouble with me is, I stopped betting you heavy after you went 100%, and I rode you right into the f***ing toilet.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Football Friday, we've got plenty on the playoff games, but there was great stuff today on Carmen and Yurko. Not only did they talk to Joshy Football, and I've got to go back to the podcast and listen to that.
That was glorious, for sure.
ESPNpodcast.com to subscribe. But I was driving down, and they had Kyle Long on the show.
Good to hear Kyle's voice on the station with those guys who used to do the Kyle Long.
Right. They, when he was like a rookie in his second year and third year, he used to call in to their show. Then we used to have Kyle on all the time, and especially when Jay wouldn't show up.
Right, exactly.
Call Kyle.
Kyle the fill-in.
And there would be Kyle. And, you know, he recently announced his retirement, though he does talk about that, and if it's 100%. This was just absolutely great stuff from Carmen and Yurko and Kyle. And they started asking him if he can see himself like his dad being in the media.
My God, I mean, you know, I always try to think of it like if I'm somebody – looking at my situation from the outside without knowing me, what would be the no-brainer scenario that I would say you should do this? And I think that the easy answer is get into broadcasting as a radio, just get into the media as much as I can, because like my dad told me a million times, it's just, I don't have to put on a face to get on and talk to you guys. It's just kind of who I am. And I shouldn't change that voice. So, wherever that allows me to do that, then great.
Do you think a year from now you'll wake up and say, man, I feel better, I want to play? Like, could you still come back, or are you retiring from football?
You never say never. I was very careful with my words, and I've been honest. I don't want to play anywhere else. So regardless of the offer, you know, I'll use the Rams, for example, because all my friends say, just go play in L.A., dude. And, you know, I would never do that. You know, I played for Aaron Cromer, all that. He's out there. But, no, I mean, I'm a Bear, and that's important to me. So, if I do miraculously heal up all my wounds, which, let's be honest, it's not going to happen. If that were to happen, yeah, that'd be great.
So you haven't filed your paperwork to retire? Because there's paperwork involved to retire.
I'm still getting the frigging PED, you know, emails, and, you know, the drug test is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready for it. I'm like, dude, I dare you to show up at my house. I'm not even in the continent.
All right, how bad are you? How bad do you feel?
I don't feel that bad at all. I'm a drama queen. You know, if you ask Olin Krutz, he'll tell you that. And it's you got to wear it like a badge of honor. So I just kind of act soft, and then you might be surprised when it comes time to show my toughness.
How many times did you make the decision to retire and flip-flop back and forth? How long did it take for you?
There was no flip-flopping. It was the easiest decision I've ever made. I got used to playing at a high level, and once I became somebody that I didn't relate to or recognize when I turned on the film, it was evident to me that I needed to do what I needed to do as a man to make my paychecks and do the things I needed to do. But it was also clear that I couldn't perform the way I wanted to. So it's the most important thing in the world to me. It's been football, and it's afforded me so many opportunities. But you ask any guy, Father Time has beat him.
Yeah.
And it's a cool process. It's a beautiful process because there's closure. It's good. I have no question marks. I have no regrets. I've done crazy things in this league, things that, you know, I can tell my kids and grandkids about. But, you know, no regrets is really the theme of it.
Kyle Long is our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. So you just knew? That's what you're telling us, Kyle? Like, did you consult your dad and your brother? Or did you, the light bulb just go off and you said, you know what, I can't do this the way I should do it anymore, and I'm ending this?
Well, when I'm healthy, I can play the game. And the issue is staying healthy and being healthy. And since I was first put my helmet on, and my dad would tell me when I was 17, the best ability is availability. So be smart in the weight room. Don't do stupid things. Don't drive fast in your car. You know, football is your life right now. And it won't always be. So make the most of the opportunity. And you know, I might not have done everything to better my chances of staying healthy and everything early on in my career. But as I got older, you know, it was a battle against time.
What do you think about your old buddy Josh McCown still kind of hanging around? Did you get a chance to watch him come in relief a couple of weeks ago in Philadelphia?
Well, the thing about Josh that I was just really alluding to is, he's always done the right things, and it shows. You talk to anybody who's been around Josh, he's a pro. He's a consummate professional, and that's a term that's thrown around a lot, but he's a guy that really is that. He's such a magnetic character in the locker room. To defense, offense, coaches, everybody holds him in a higher regard. So I'm happy for him, and yeah, man, I'd hire him in a heartbeat.
Can Mitch be what the Bears need him to be, Kyle?
Yes, because he has been. And I think that it's important. I know it's important to Matt to get the right pieces around him. Because I've been in those meetings, and it's important for those guys to want to emerge as the guy, you know, the safety blanket, the tight ends now in this game, and they always have been a safety blanket. But if you're a tight end with special skill set and a willingness to do some nasty stuff, you can stand out and make yourself special. And you see it in Baltimore. The advent of the tight end is huge.
Yeah. What's he missing?
Health around him. And that comes with just having the right folks. Because as you know, some guys are just genetically coded to stay healthy. Some guys are genetically coded to have soft tissue. And then the other thing is just a roll of the dice. And it's a luck. There's one winner every year. It's a Super Bowl champion, and everybody else is a loser. So everybody in the league's having these conversations. We're the, you know, top three market in the country in the most popular game. I expect, and Mitch expects, these conversations to happen, I'm sure. But he knows that he's got to progress. We all regress this year, every single person in the media guide. And they know that. We know that.
Why was Harry Hiestand not as effective as he's been everywhere else?
Man, that's, you know, it's a tough question, because obviously you've seen the guys that have come forth into the NFL and had tremendous success under his tutelage, and he is a great coach. I played for him, obviously, and his teachings are awesome. He's comes to work with the same mindset every day. He's old school. I mean, he's definitely old school. And, you know, I'm raised in a house where the old man was kind of old school. So I like that. Some guys might not. And I think at the end of the day, when something doesn't go right in the NFL, unfortunately, there has to be a scapegoat. And, you know, I'll raise my hand. I was one of them. And it sucks. Somebody's got to get burned. And obviously, like I said, you can't control injuries, but you can control making a statement. And I think that was a big statement. And Brandon Juan Castillo is big. He's a guy that Nagy's been with in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
I think Harry and Nagy had never worked together prior. Obviously, there's a lot of overlapping. But he wants his guys in the building, and that's understandable. I think you guys would do the same thing. You want to have guys you know and trust.
When you say you were one of them, do you feel like they came to you? I don't know.
I use the term scapegoat very loosely. I was a lame duck that they could turn over in like a hostage situation and say, take him. Like, work. You know? And I was the guy that's so loyal. I said, you got it, boss. You give me whatever on the back end here, and we'll be good.
So wait, do you think you could have like grinded through 16 games,
as you know, it's a one day league, one day at a time league, and I played every snap in the Raiders game. Granted, I didn't block a soul. I played every snap.
So they finally,
if you can play, you can play,
right?
But if you can't play well, then you're probably not going to be on the field.
Yeah. What, you know, you talk about everybody regressing. I mean, we all of a sudden we find ourselves even questioning Matt Nagy after everything was so good in the first year. Is he like, can Matt be a great play caller in this league, Kyle? Because a lot of us are questioning it all of a sudden.
He is such a forward thinker. He is a great play caller. And I'm excited to see him get the right pieces around Mitch. And, you know, I alluded to that earlier. And yeah. It takes time, and Rome wasn't built today, all the cliches, yada, yada, yada. But I've been in the rooms with him. I've seen how it looks when he's got dudes. I've seen how it looks when he doesn't have dudes. And I feel like anybody would struggle if they don't have the right guys or people that are not healthy.
How many dudes does he need, then, to turn things around next year?
Doesn't take much, man, as you know. I think you look around the league and you see the teams that have had success, and they've all invested through the draft in early rounds in their front seven. Offensive line in particular. You need to keep the quarterback clean. You need to give him confidence in the pocket, and it allows everybody else to flourish. And you look at San Francisco, you look at Baltimore, you look at Indianapolis. These guys have invested, and they have Pro Bowlers, all pro, every year. They're setting the standard for protection, and they're setting the standard for offensive success, and it's a byproduct of having offensive linemen. So I think it really starts with personnel, and everybody knows that in the building. And it's no secret. So everybody's job's on the line, and that's the NFL. That's awesome. That's what kept me going to work for so long.
So as we've gotten to know you, and I think Bears fans have gotten to know you over the years, you know, you're kind of a renaissance man. I mean, you have interests. You do other things. You and your brother have been outspoken and charismatic in the media, on social media. Like, what, you know, we know you played guitar, you like movies. Like, what are you going to do? I mean, you were just on this vacation. You look like you were having a blast. Have you thought about what life's going to be like now. What do you want to do in the short term?
Well, I just want to live to the fullest. I mean, I want to wake up every day and I want to try to cram as much stuff as I can into it that makes me happy. And, you know, when it was 18 degrees and you're out there frostbitten on a practice field with no wind cover and you're lined up across from a monster every day, you're like, dude, what would I be doing right now? I mean, that's really when you know you should be done playing football, when you're thinking about something else. It's like, what would I be doing? And I would probably be somewhere, you know, trying to off-road a pickup truck or just hanging out with my family. Getting away, getting off the grid. It's fun, man.
Outstanding stuff.
Such a likable guy for me. I've always loved Kyle. I think he's been a fantastic player in the past. Injuries got the best of him. He's just a really unique guy that you enjoy talking to.
Meller, if you can get that second to last answer about the offensive line, that was great stuff. Guy who played on that offensive line, and when he was asked what they need to improve, sure enough, he went an all-in on that line. All right, we have some fun coming up. We're going inside Waddle's World. It's a Friday wacky edition. We're live at Horseshoe Casino. The book! Come on out, place your bets. We're having a blast. It's all coming up next.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salts.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, every team wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
Hi, John. Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/finance. Member FDIC. Anything we didn't get to in the first hour and a half of the show that you regret that we didn't talk about?
No, I don't. I have no regrets ever. But I do. We have not touched on stuff that could be happening tonight at Cubs convention.
Ooh.
What will Chris Bryant say about these trade rumors?
How do you like my Atlanta Braves t-shirt?
Shows up with one of those Chief Wahoo.
Yeah. Did you see?
Well, that's the Indians, isn't it? Chief Wahoo's the Indians.
I think so,
What is the Braves stop? The Tomahawks?
I don't know. Yeah.
But,
you know what it is? It's a baseball stadium that they usually win a lot of games and half the stadium's filled. Isn't that the best way to describe the Braves? Even when they were winning championships, you could still get a ticket for like a buck and a half, couldn't you?
Yes.
And I'm not talking about $150.
No.
I'm talking like $1.50. Did you see what Rizzo had to say basically about that? I'm paraphrasing now because I don't have the quote in front of me.
This is good.
But just how things changed dramatically.
That it's more cutthroat now,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, that's the way he referenced it, that you would even be considering trading the MVP of the league just 3 or 4 years removed.
When you zoom out like that, the optics, like I have said that, like, who would have thought Joe Maddon would be gone 4 years after they won the World Series? Who would have thought the MVP from the 2016 team, the first to win it in 108 years, could be traded? But maybe cutthroat is exactly what this roster needs.
You made that point to us as we were sitting down having coffee today, and it's interesting. It really is interesting that maybe lack of comfort is something that could inspire them. I was thinking this as well. How do you think Joe Maddon would handle a scenario like has developed in Houston? Or early on in a scenario like that where players may be doing something?
It's a great question.
You know?
I don't know. Would
he bring in a magician or maybe a petting zoo to kind of, you know, calm the guys down and stop it? Yeah. Maybe have a live a venomous snake in the clubhouse that's available to bite you if you get caught cheating.
Do you see this big bear? You could get bitten by Major League Baseball.
I'm going to turn the Major League Baseball bear loose on you.
So I don't know. How many managers would do that?
I don't know. Before we get to any of the other sportsaroo, can we all wish Betty White a very happy 98th birthday today?
Unbelievable. 98 years old. Young. 98 years young.
I have not seen, like, any recent performances from Betty White, but when I think of Betty White, I always think, like, she's so much more together than I am, and I'm 50, almost 53.
Always. She's always been that way.
Yeah.
She's always looked way younger than her age is indicated.
Yes.
And just, I love the Golden
Girls. Do you still
girls.
Find her attractive, Abdallah? Betty White?
Betty White?
Yeah.
She's timeless.
Yeah. I think she is, too. Yeah. Kyrie Irving is talks to the Nets over a glaring missing piece comments.
Wait, what now with Kyrie?
Kyrie Irving said he has spoken to teammates about comments in which he listed the players he saw as being a part of the team's future. Quote, I reached out to make sure nothing was taken out of context, making sure that the guys knew exactly what I meant, he said after practice. And that is the only thing that matters. Following Wednesday night's loss to the Sixers, Irving told reporters that he felt it was glaring that the Nets need one or two more pieces to complement himself, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan, Garrett Temple, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Caris LeVert? Anyway, Spencer Dinwiddie continues to play well.
Yeah.
We had a chance.
And then he was in Bulls camp, remember?
Yeah. No, I know.
I'm trying to remember who they kept instead of him. It was somebody stupid that they kept the Bulls instead of him. Oh, it was Michael Carter-Williams.
Yeah.
Right. And
former Rookie of the Year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's really not done anything since then.
Do you want to revisit the Jack McDowell comments about
you want to? Should we play that?
Meller, you got that at the tip of your fingers?
I do.
Former Cy Young Award winner accused Tony La Russa of having a camera-aided sign-stealing system installed when he was with the Sox, and you can take it from there.
Yeah, this is from WFNZ in Charlotte.
We had a system in Old Comiskey Park in the late 80s. Gatorade sign out in right center had a light. There was a toggle switch in the manager's office and a camera zoomed in on the catcher. Okay? I'm going to whistle blow this now because I'm getting tired of this crap. There's that. There was that. Tony La Russa is the one who put it in. He was also the head, the first team of all the teams of people doing steroids. Yet he's still in the game, making $500,000. You know, no one's going to go after that. It's the stuff's getting old, where they target certain guys and let other people off the hook. And you know, like the media doesn't know that this all happened, was going on. Everybody knows. Everybody who's been around the game knows all this stuff. Why all of a sudden it became a big thing, I have no idea.
He doesn't have time to jack with any of this.
What do you think he's most mad of? That what he said at the end, that this is now all a story when it's been baseball's dirty little secret? Or does he have like some sort of a vendetta against La Russa, where he was never managed by La Russa, by the way.
Right.
But he brought up then again about the A's and stuff like that. Now he's still making money. Was last with Boston.
My interpretation is he may not have an individual personal beef with La Russa. He's got a beef with baseball for turning their head, not coughing, but not looking when it comes to people like Tony La Russa.
The hypocrisy?
Correct.
Of how they scold some and don't scold others.
Ravens coach John Harbaugh defends Lamar Jackson's playoff record, as would I. He's 23 years old. He's younger than Joe Burrow, okay? Harbaugh said at his season end press conference. So he's got a pretty good head start right now. The Manning brothers combined they had five losses in their first five playoff games.
Why does he have to go after the Mannings?
I don't know.
Why do you have to bring the Mannings in on this?
I don't know, Skyler. You knew you were going to get Skyler's, you know.
Unfair.
He's going to get all. I told you this the other day, and we never really talked about this much. One of the narratives that came out of that playoff weekend, the first one I told you was Richard Sherman, who I love as a player, but keeps going back to the well for that. You guys know we're going to keep doing this. None of you respect us. None of you thought of us. I mean, whatever gets you to where you need to go, but to me, it's just like I giggle when I see it because he's such a great Hall of Fame caliber player. The other one was all of the people on this side of the room pinned against the wall screaming, "See, I told you so. Lamar Jackson can't win in the playoffs because he's not a good enough passer." And then all the people on this side of the room that were screaming, "How dare you criticize Lamar Jackson in any way, shape, or form?" How about he's an electric player who's 23 years old, who's going to be the NFL MVP this year, who's still got room to grow, who didn't have his best game, unfortunately, in the playoff game in the loss to the Titans. Can't all of that be true?
Yes.
Not in today's.
Common sense is not allowed on a hot take.
How dare you criticize Lamar? That's why
we've always said in 2020, the new hot take is common sense.
I'm with you, man.
That's why not?
Travis Etienne is set to return for his senior season.
Really?
He's one of my favorite college football players and has been.
But why? Let me ask you this. The running back has very few miles on the body to begin with. Why use some of those miles up not getting paid?
Quite frankly, because he wants to stay at Clemson because he loves the experience and he wants to try and win a national championship. And for him, I think that's the right thing. If that's how he feels, then do it. From your perspective, it was a very good perspective. From if you were sitting down with Travis Etienne and saying to him as his business manager, look, I would just give the presentation you just did. But if he says, this is my life and this is how I want to enjoy it, I'm going to do
this. Yeah.
He's going to do it without regrets.
Yeah, you're right. Who am I to say that?
Plus, it's easy for him being a running back ranked through soft cheese of the ACC. So
that's an SEC. That's a rip job coming from the SEC.
They'll be in the playoff again because
the Mountain South.
Like,
Adam
it's
Abdallah.
A chance to go to the playoff again because their schedule is so soft. They'll be in it.
I got one. I got two words for you.
Mm-hmm.
Roll Tide.
Yeah,
damn right.
Roll Tide
and lost bet.
That's soccer. Don't bring soccer into
Kyler Murray's convinced he could play baseball and football in the same year.
Yeah, I would just. I wouldn't bite off too much at this stage. Let's just focus on football.
I'm with you. Paul Rudd and Clark Hunt will take part in a pregame activity at the AFC Championship game. What's that all about?
Well, he's a big Chiefs fan, Paul Rudd. Do you know Paul Rudd, I think, went to school with Joe Buck? I think they grew up together some way, somehow.
Okay.
We got more coming up, too, Waddle.
I know we do. And a deaf man is suing Pornhub for a lack of closed captioning in the videos. I'll bring you that and a couple of more little tickler stories.
As Waddle's World continues next.
Yes.
Waddle and Sylvie, live from the book at Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana.
Trouble with me is I start betting you heavy after you win 100%, and I rode you right into the f***ing toilet.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
As I was telling you before we step aside for just a second to catch our breath, a deaf man has filed a lawsuit against popular adult site Pornhub for not providing closed captioning on their videos. The site, which hosts millions of adult videos, offers all kinds of upgrades to enhance the video watching experience. There's videos streaming in crisp HD quality. There's playlists. There's full screen modes. There's download options and a bunch of other features for the person looking for clarity. However, the site...
Yeah, right. You put in parentheses, groaning. Right?
However, the site is making it harder for the deaf community to enjoy. So, a man is suing the popular site, claiming it's denied the deaf and hearing impaired access to its videos that others can easily enjoy.
He's suing for, like, free membership for life.
Oh, is that correct? I thought you maybe knew the story better than I.
No.
I love this.
Has he requested it first from them, saying, hey, look, don't forget us about us. You know, we're here, too.
Can I read some of the... with you today.
Oh, boy. Can I read some of the titles?
Nope.
No, really? Because some of the titles are, like, fantastic.
Settle down just a little bit.
See if you can... by the way, I want everyone to know it's a teaser weekend. I'll get to that a little bit later. Nothing to do with the Pornhub site. With regard to gambling. And you guys have all busted my chops about teasers.
Yeah, you're a man ahead of his time.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you can't read any of these. No, I'd go to the next
story. All right, I'll go right to the cocaine story then, okay?
That's fine.
Indian River County, a man accused of having cocaine in his hat, told investigators he didn't know the drugs were there. 29-year-old, guess where it's at? Take one guess where we're at.
Florida.
Where at?
Tampa.
No, come on.
Miami.
No, come on.
Jacksonville.
Where do we always go?
Vero Beach.
Yes, Vero Beach, Florida.
Fifth try.
29-year-old Vero Beach man was arrested January 8th on a charge of possession of a controlled substance after the headgear hullabaloo. A local sheriff's deputy reported stopping a bicycle without lights in the area. 29-year-old bicyclist allowed deputies to search him. In the brim of his hat, investigators reported finding a white powdery substance in cellophane cigarette packaging. Is that how you do it? Is that how you hide it?
No, I don't think any of us know that.
I don't know. I'm not a drug guy. I'm just asking.
Neither
are. It doesn't mean if you know the answer, doesn't mean necessarily that you are a drug guy. You just may have information. Maybe you did a research project.
The show is going to Florida in 2.5 weeks. Do you believe?
What does that have to do with cocaine in your helmet?
Because I'm asking you. Do you think we'll see any witness anything crazy?
I don't know. How about this? Maybe a woman walking naked through Miami International Airport. I'm not making a suggestion. That
she
happened.
Was strip search.
A woman, no. You don't walk through the airport after you're being strip searched.
Why not?
When you're strip searched, you go into a room
right.
where they can protect your privacy. I think you need to be strip searched next time you fly out.
No,
of the state.
I'm okay.
Well, I think you need to understand how this goes. A woman walking through the baggage claim area of Miami International Airport while casually removing all of her clothes is now in custody.
Was she angry? Like, we keep hearing about these angry people that when they get angry, they remove their clothes.
Contraire, cell phone video shows the woman appearing to be singing as she calmly takes off her clothes while walking through the area.
If you're happy and you know it, take off your clothes.
That was good. I like that. A bloodthirsty squirrel leaves 2 hospitalized.
Wow. Yeah. The squirrels are attacking?
Yeah, we go to Houston where an unruly squirrel is defying.
That squirrel was cheating.
Disney stereotypes by terrorizing 1 Houston neighborhood. Quote, we usually don't go outside in the daytime because he comes out in the daytime. Charlene French, as something, told the television station.
Damn the squirrel.
The feral animal, who's anything but friendly, has even attacked 2 people, leaving them bloodied, bruised, and needing stitches. How about that?
It was really just Jose Altuve. They thought it was a squirrel.
That's not true. That's not very nice either. Troy Campus. Maybe it's Camphouse. My buddy Mark Camphouse, I grew up with. His name was spelled Kamphaus.
Was he the quarterback?
He was, both at high school and went to Boston College with me.
And was you guys were like a package deal that signed with BC?
I signed before him because he was like the number one recruit in the country. I was not the number one
recruit. Right, so they were enticing him by signing you, right?
No, that's what Ohio State tried to do. Ohio State had no interest in me actually playing. They just wanted me as bait. They thought if I would sign at Ohio State, then Mark, my buddy, would go there. And with really no interest in me.
And he said Ohio State?
No,
really?
Nope. I signed
you
with
went
Boston
to BC?
College. Yeah. Whoa, watch your mouth, Southern. Watch your mouth. What'd you watch last night? What'd you watch last night?
I watched Little beat Southern by 15.
No.
Rambler up.
16, I think. Six, yeah. 16.
Yeah. When did you leave?
Oh, I stayed after the game. I took a picture with Cap. I talked to Brian Mullins. I talked to Mike Reese, Mike Reese has done the Saluki games for like 35, 40 years.
Not the guy who covers the Patriots.
No, but spelled the same, I believe.
Okay.
There's a feature on New England Patriot Mike Reese today, I believe.
Okay.
On what he's doing now watching the playoffs when he doesn't have to cover them.
Wow, that is good. That is good. Americans got less sleep in 2019 than they did in 2018.
Yes. I sleep less and less as every day goes by.
Really?
Just
I do too. And I have learned that as you get older, your sleep habits obviously change. Did you know, though, I've told you this story in the past, that way back before electricity, people went to bed or fell asleep as soon as it got dark outside and would actually wake up at some point in the night, do some work, and go back to sleep.
Really?
That we as, what are we classified as?
Human beings?
No, but what's the official term? Are we Homo sapiens?
Yes.
Are we, what is,
we're like, Homo sapiens.
We're not primates, are we? What are we, Mellor? What are we fish?
Where is he going here? I know.
Well, I'm saying, what is the official term for human beings?
I think Homo sapiens is correct.
Oh, so I got it. What are you giggling at? Are you 12?
I just like that you're asking the question.
Are you saying that the people that went to sleep and woke up in the night to do something are not Homo sapiens?
No, what I'm saying, they were not people? My point is we are genetically engineered or wired to sleep in pod segments.
Ooh.
Not to sleep for an entirety of like 12 hours. Like, remember, go back in time when you were younger. You could sleep forever, right?
Oh, I could sleep forever now still.
Oh, really?
I mean, I wake up, but I could go right back to sleep.
You know, Einstein used to only take cat naps. Just a series of catnaps.
That's right. Just I don't know go real. Look. Go look at. Do the.
It sounded real though.
And finally, before we get to Florida or Ohio, millennials don't clean their bathrooms as much as the boomers do. So you may think that we are boring. You're dirty.
Okay, boomer.
I clean my bathroom.
Okay, boomer.
Listen, I'm not trying to put anybody on blast.
We're boring. But he's got a dirty bathroom.
Yeah. I'm not trying to put anybody on blast, but when I lived with Chris Black, he didn't clean that bathroom once. Not once.
All right,
you guys want to play a game?
Yeah.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation.
Story.
Public drunkenness. Exotic animals.
That was going around earlier.
Dumb criminals.
Yeah, about alligators.
Random stabbings.
Alligators. Yeah,
or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Florida, Ohio is brought to you by the Fields Auto Group. See Fields first for luxury cars and SUVs at fieldsautogroup.com. I wish you could go bet on this, like, real quick. Just bet on whether it's going to be Florida or
right,
Ohio. Man fleeing police crashes into portalette or porta-potty or portable toilet, whichever you choose to call it. Police arrested a man after he led them on a chase and crashed into a portable toilet and then ran. Police tried to stop Larry Haas for several traffic offenses.
What's going on, Haas?
Instead of pulling over, Larry Haas Jr. Took off and drove through several stop signs and stop lights, ultimately ending up in a cul-de-sac where he ran into a porta potty. He then jumped out of the car, began running, and was later caught while trying to get over a wall. They say police found a discarded glass pipe with cocaine.
Ooh,
you sounded like it's a celebration. No, it's not. And let me tell you, what he should have done is ditch the car and jump in the porta potty. If you're really trying to get away from the cops. I saw this in an episode of Shameless. Get inside the toilet.
That's real.
Get inside the toilet. They're not going in there.
I think you've burned all your Florida stories in Waddle's world, so I'm going to go, that is at Cleveland, Ohio.
I'm going to say that sounds like a Tampa move.
Yeah, I think there's a never-ending supply of Florida stories, so I'm going to go with Florida.
God.
A man fleed police and crashed into a porta potty and then ran in Okaloosa County, Florida.
Yeah, you're right. Unlimited number of stories from Florida.
All right. Too many. Unlimited amount of knowledge from Lewis Riddick. He knows Matt Nagy as well as anybody. Will the changes the Bears made make more offense in 2020? That's coming up next.